it's good to have the gang back together. Thank you, Darth Jamie. Adam Azer, Jamie Eisberg, Dave Richards.
Andre Ellington, I am your father.
He said, don't breathe.
I'll explain to you why you're not allowed to breathe before we start recording after the show. How is everybody feeling today? It's Wednesday. It's July 9th.
It's Wacky Wednesday, July 9th.
Hey!
The weather outside is a little gloomy. Watch out on the road.
Wednesday.
We've got some Led Zeppelin coming up.
All right, Dave. Let's get to it already.
Should you tell people the announcement that we're twice a week?
Twice a week?
He
podcast,
already said
yeah.
that. That's old news.
No, but the other announcement that you always forget.
Which is, Fantasy Party?
Yeah.
I'm getting there. All right, fine. I'll do it right now. August 23rd
Sing it.
Foxborough. Fantasy Party! Go to cbssports.com/fantasyparty.
Now no one's coming.
If you're in the area, it's free, it's fun, it's
Adam
drafty.
May or may not do karaoke at this party.
Oh. What song would you like me to do?
Oh, he's in. See, we could have been.
It's never
back.
Happening. But what song would you like
I don't know if I want to sing. Can you hand me my guitar?
All right, fine. You're going to do that.
Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow by Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
With you skipping around.
Consider it done.
The CBS scene.
Okay, so anyway, go to that website, that URL. We've got giveaways.
Say the URL again, please.
cbssports.com/fantasyparty. And learn all the details, and we'll see you up there. Watch our video shows. The two of these guys here just got done doing some videos with Aaron Cerrone. They'll be posted on the website, fantasynews.cbssports.com, a little bit later today. Good stuff with PPR rankings, so you guys talked about that.
Yes.
And not a lot of news and notes to get to, so we'll do emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com, some tweets, some more ranking stuff. Here's another awesome Jamal Charles stat.
Is it awesome or is it awesome because you found it?
I found it awesome.
Okay.
When I said, I was like, really? Jamal Charles last year scored more fantasy points than Adrian Peterson scored in 2012.
That was AP's big year.
That was his 2,000 rushing yard season.
Yep.
I mean, he had 19 touchdowns last year.
307 fantasy points versus 293.
Awesome.
Dave,
people are scared to take him number one overall.
You have him number one, right?
Yeah.
Look, I understand anybody's afraid of – you can make a case why anybody could be afraid of any player. I mean, McCoy's got Sproles. Forte had a billion carries and touches a year ago. Charles loses three offensive linemen. You know, there's Peterson's, you know – collecting Social Security at this point. There's reasons against a lot of these
younger
guys.
Younger than me.
So, you're old. You're the oldest person I know that's your age.
30.
You're an old soul.
I've heard that. Yeah, I know. That's the thing about fantasy football. Sometimes you talk yourself out of things.
Right. You're an old soul that doesn't like to get woken up early.
All right. So, speaking of which.
That's right. I know I have to remind you.
Oh, I know what I did.
Yeah, I sent a group text message on, Sunday? To Dave and Jamie. I said, hey, can we podcast tomorrow? Tomorrow being Monday. And Jamie sent, sure, yeah, I think Dave's out, though, or whatever. Dave responded at 5:45 in the morning on Monday. Are you insane?
Yeah.
That's such bad text.
I did that on purpose, too.
That's not funny.
5:53.
It's almost 6 a.m. 5:53.
I was up.
There was no reason to send it then.
Yeah, exactly. It was a worthless text.
It was a worthless text.
What did I say?
Not till Tuesday.
Yeah, because I'm not back in the office until Tuesday.
Right. So
you needed to know it on Monday.
There's two things wrong with that. First of all, the time that you send it. Second of all, if you're not working, why in the world would you wake up that early? No excuse. Go on. Move on.
How did that happen? When was it? On Monday morning?
He set an alarm just to wake us up with his text.
I don't even think I was up on that. 5:45.
I
think I just gone to sleep.
Oh, yeah, probably. All right, let's get to it here. Rob Gronkowski looks good for week one, according to Patriots.com, and New England wide receiver Aaron Dobson optimistic about being ready for training camp. That's all I've got for news and notes.
It's big news. I mean, look, if Gronk is ready to go week one, I've already taken this. I've been leaning that way anyway, but this kind of pushed me over the top to put Gronkowski at number two at the tight end position. So I moved him ahead of Julius Thomas. I've said it numerous times. If both guys play 16 games, I'll take Gronk over Graham.
But you're sticking with Graham over Gronk because of health concerns.
As of now, yes.
Yeah. And I'm a step behind Jamie because I want to see when he comes back. Is it going to be the first day of training camp? Is he going to miss the whole training camp period and only play in the third preseason game? Which, by the way, is right around the time of the fantasy draft party.
We'll be there for it.
Yeah, so you can go and check out Gronk, and the next day you can chill out with us. There's two guys where I'm saying I need to see it first. Gronk's one of them. Trent Richardson's the other. And then once I see it, then, yeah, I can start moving them up. But by the time I see it, you guys will see it, and you guys will have Gronkowski where he needs to be in the rankings.
The other just to piggyback of what you said, Aaron Dobson's somebody I'm very curious to see as well. Because if he's ready to go for training camp, I would consider him a sleeper. Because they need somebody outside to make plays.
Right.
You know,
right.
They don't really have that right now. You know, you could talk about Kemble Tompkins. You could talk about maybe Brandon LaFell. Gronk and what he does to stretch the middle of the field. But they don't have somebody that can get down the field on the outside, and Dobson could be that guy.
They were desperate for that guy last year. I think LaFell is that guy for now. Mm. And let's just...
They like LaFell for his blocking.
But he can do... He can catch, too. He's not a great fantasy option. Like, if you draft him, it's going to be as a bye week receiver. You could probably just leave him on waivers for that. He has a little bit of appeal beyond that if you're in a deeper league, but it's not like I'm jumping into, you know, whatever I'm supposed to say, blah, 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 Brandon LaFell.
Very good. All right, so with that said...
Anyway, just one more point about Gronkowski. If Graham's a holdout and Gronk shows up for the first day of training camp, that's when I'll make the switch and put Gronk ahead of Graham.
Okay.
I'm with him.
So then, emails and tweets, and let's go to Mike. Where's Mike from, Dave? First time I'm asking in a while.
Cozumel, Mexico.
Oh, that's not true. I think I asked you last time.
Yeah, the last podcast I was on, too.
My bad. Cozumel, Mexico. Hola, Mike. He says, Dear Bruce, Harvey, and Gordon. That's Batman. I have the number one pick in a standard scoring league. Charles is great, but doesn't North Turner's running back catching scheme bode well for Adrian Peterson, making him the potential number one running back?
You're choosing between a Lamborghini and a Ferrari.
And which one is which? Which one would you rather own?
I think the Lamborghini is a little more unique.
I want a Lamborghini.
I think I'd take the Lamborghini.
I'm interested in one of those.
Of course, I'm like... drooling over Teslas right now, so
those are cool.
Take a Tesla. Have you ever driven one?
No, but I've been in one.
That's
but not
close
while
enough.
I was driving. Just
your au pair.
Like at the mall?
Yeah, my au pair. We got her a Tesla.
You were at the mall and there was a Tesla there and
nah,
you hopped in and you were like, hey,
my
neat.
Friend's father has a Tesla.
Why didn't he take you for a spin? It's a nice car.
Yeah, it's cool.
He didn't have the baby carrier in the back of the car, so Adam wasn't allowed in the car.
Nor did he have a permission slip from my parents.
I think if you like Adrian Peterson based on Norv Turner being there and the offensive line being good and AP being great, go ahead and take him over Jamaal Charles. I'm not doing that.
Well, the thing is, if your argument for Peterson is he's going to catch more passes now, is he going to catch more passes than Jamaal Charles? You know, Jamaal Charles led his team in receptions.
So. Right.
So I don't know that he's going to have an edge
there. I don't think he'll have an edge there, and he could lose carries in the process. I mean, they like Jerick McKinnon. AP has liked Jerick McKinnon. So I'm not so sure AP is going to be playing 85-90% of the snaps. Could be a little bit of a tweak, but still probably a guy who's got 325 touches in him. Same with Jamaal Charles.
All right, next up we have Anthony. Where's Anthony from, Dave?
Anthony's from, thinking Midwest Rolodex, Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Anthony works at the grocery store, right? Mr. Cacciatore is out on Sullivan Street. Right? Something like that? Come on, Billy Joel? All right. This year I'll be doing a two-quarterback league. Do you guys plan on doing a podcast on two quarterbacks? Yes, we do. I think we did a two-quarterback draft, actually, on a podcast last year.
It was fun.
Nando took the anti-quarterback strategy.
Yeah, and he had a good year.
He didn't draft a quarterback. Well, he ended up with Cutler as one of his guys, I remember. He might have gone with a Cutler-Carson Palmer duo, if I'm not mistaken.
Terrell Pryor could have been in there. He was a big Pryor guy.
And could you give me a rundown draft strategy-wise for a two-quarterback league? People I've talked to in the past say there's a quarterback run in the first round. I'm thinking of drafting one solid quarterback and waiting on the second.
Yeah, that's a way to go. I like getting two quarterbacks just right off the bat. I know I'm going to need them. I know the position becomes thin in a two-quarterback league. So I like to get two really good quarterbacks right out of the gate.
I don't like reaching for the second one unless it's somebody that I – will take at that spot because there will be a run on quarterbacks in the first round, which is going to push a lot of those running backs and maybe Calvin Johnson or Jimmy Graham into the second round. So if I'm staring at Russell Wilson or Jimmy Graham, I'm taking Jimmy Graham, you know, that type of decision. And I know
you can get a quarterback like Russell Wilson,
you know,
around
right.
later.
If I'm faced with the number one tight end, the number one wide receiver, a top five running back, top seven running back, whatever the case may be, and I've already gotten, you know, Kaepernick, let's just say, in the first round, I'd take the running back and then try and get Carson Palmer or, you know, settle for somebody like a Joe Flacco.
Now, we did that draft last year. If I remember correctly, The three of us all took quarterbacks with our first two picks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nathan did too. And that was my first ever two-quarterback league. And it was my best league last year because I took Peyton Manning, third overall.
That was right. That was the league where I beat you week one.
Yep.
You had Peyton.
Peyton Manning on Thursday night on week one, and you somehow beat me. That
was like by a point or something, right?
Yeah, really, really. 1 or 2 yeah. points. But
and you talk so much.
I would recommend taking two quarterbacks early, unless, as Jamie said, you reach. But my other question, backup quarterbacks, how do you approach that in two quarterback leagues, which are usually 10-team leagues, right?
You'd like it to be 10-team leagues. I mean, you can do it more, but it makes it more challenging.
Yeah, okay. So how do you approach your backup quarterback if you draft a third quarterback? Do you take a high upside guy or a safer guy or what?
As your third?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it kind of just depends on who's available to you. You know, I wouldn't reach for, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick or Chad Henne, but I may reach for Manziel or Bridgewater.
Right. All right.
You know, just with the hope that they do pop. I know last year, like, I picked up Brian Hoyer after he got off to a hot start, and I traded him as part of a package to somebody who had, you know, maybe it was, I don't think it was Eli Manning, but somebody who had a Michael Vick, maybe Michael Vick owner, something like that.
Okay. All right, next up, we've got Devin the Dude calling out Jamie ranking. This is from last week. Or no, it's 2 days ago, sorry. Le'Veon Bell over Arian Foster and Giovanni Bernard with Gio in a lead role and Foster healthy. All right. Le'Veon Bell, you got him ranked ahead.
Dave,
you as well?
No.
Well, we talked about this last week, Adam, that Foster makes me nervous because of, you know, where he's at in his career coming off the injury. I'd rather take the younger guy with upside than Foster, who I think is going to kind of sort of be good, just not great again. So I think Bell has more upside. And Gio, the touchdowns. You know, I don't know if he's going to be the one scoring touchdowns there. So I think Le'Veon Bell proved himself last year. I think he's going to have a successful season. I like the way this offense is trending. I like the improved offensive line with Pouncey healthy. So I think Le'Veon Bell's in line for a great season. So I would take him over both those guys. Very very close for me, though, with Bell and Gio. Both guys for sure over Foster.
And, Dave, you have Le'Veon Bell 13th, and Jamie has him 8th. And you do have Foster and Bernard ahead of Le'Veon Bell.
We've talked in the past about Le'Veon Bell and what kind of impact LeGarrette Blount could have on him. Not necessarily Blount as the goal line guy for them because he's never necessarily been a goal line guy for a team. But I don't think the Steelers got Le'Veon Bell just – or got LeGarrette Blount, rather – just have depth behind Bell. I think he's going to take a decent amount of work. Worries me a little bit.
Like I said, 6 to 8 carries. I mean,
yeah.
That's fair.
Okay. And so where does that leave Le'Veon on a weekly basis? 15? 16?
Carries?
Total touches.
Oh, I think he'll still be around 20 because of how much they throw the ball.
And he had
they got Dree Archer for that, too. Yeah. Oh, listen, what he did as a receiver last year really was the icing on the cake.
And that's the point. He's a complete back. He's one of the rare three-down backs that we have in the NFL. Not that Foster and Gio are not. But I think Le'Veon is going to be one of those guys, despite your feeling toward Big Ten running backs.
No, not this one.
He's a special talent, and I think he's on the right team with a chance to get better than what he was here.
I wouldn't call him a special talent. I would call him a very good talent, and he's a very good talent in a very, very good spot right now. I think the Steelers are a team that's going to rebound big this year.
People might get hung up on Le'Veon Bell's yards per carry from last year, 3.5, and draw Trent Richardson comparisons because Richardson had a very good rookie year with a bad yards per carry and obviously stunk last year. I would say that Bell, though, had a bad offensive line and averaged 4 yards per carry in his last 5 games, during which he scored 19 points, 17 points, 16, 16, and 15 fantasy points.
And take into account that where he finished did not have the ability to play in the beginning of the season because of the foot injury.
Three games at the beginning of the season. Another thing I saw today, so Le'Veon Bell, 45 catches last year. That ranked 17th amongst running backs. And no receiving touchdowns, which was weird. Only one running back who caught more passes than Le'Veon Bell did not have a receiving touchdown. That was actually Joik Bell. So, in other words, I think you can assume that flukiness played a role there, and he should have a few receiving touchdowns next year as long as he keeps catching passes.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I'm very excited about Le'Veon Bell.
Now, Foster was better than I remembered him being last year. His numbers were down because he only scored 1 rushing touchdown, but he averaged 4.5 yards per carry, and he absolutely tore up Seattle, San Francisco, and St. Louis in his last 3 full health game. And then he got hurt his hamstring, right, in the next game and missed the rest of the year?
No, back.
His back?
It was his back. Remember, it was one play. He came into the game with a different injury, too. I think it was a different injury. And then he played like two plays, tweaked his back, and was out the rest of the season.
The three games before that, though, Seattle, San Francisco,
Monster
and St.
Games.
Louis, three of the best defenses against the run in the league last year, and he killed them.
So. Yeah, I mean, you've got to – there's obvious concern anytime there's a back injury. You've got to keep that in mind, but we've seen other running backs and other players with back injuries maintain it throughout the season, and they come out just fine. The combination of Aaron Foster not playing a full season and Bill O'Brien's track record with running backs, that's what really sells me on Foster having one last big year.
See, I don't.
I think that he's going to get a ton of yards. No one else is taking touchdowns away from him. He's going to get the touchdowns there, too. It's going to be a tough year for him because defenses are going to key in on him. But you want to talk about versatile players that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Le'Veon Bell did a great job of it last year. Foster's been doing it for several years.
Yeah, I mean, we broke this down, you know, in terms of, like, what you look for in a running back, and he meets a lot of the criteria. It's just that when these guys start to hit that workload number, which he's done now, the three-year period, the one, you know, year 2012 going to 2013 when he had 429, when you factor in the playoffs, it's hard for those guys to get back to that level again, especially when there is a significant injury, because their bodies just can't take it. And so I think round two, I'm okay taking a risk on Foster, same like I'm okay taking a risk on Lynch in round two. Round one, no chance. And I think if you're going to reach for him in round one, that's where your team, it was the running backs that we talk about all the time, same thing like a year ago. These are the type of guys that ruin your season. Because if they don't play to the level that you draft them at, and again, you can say Le'Veon Bell is going to be a Trent Richardson, Gio is going to be a sophomore bust, Eddie Lacy sophomore bust. There's any number of, you know, red flags you can put on a lot of these guys, which is why people are scared of taking running backs. But to me, Foster screams more the potential of negative, not more negative, but the potential of negative, which is why I wouldn't take him round one.
Did you ever do the research on running backs after they get?
I just looked at the chart again, you know, and the career scope of these guys. Terrell Davis was an interesting one because he had three consecutive years of 400-plus touches, including the first Super Bowl win for them, over 500.
Over 500 touches.
Over 500 touches. And then he was never the same. Tore his ACL, knee injuries, leg injuries, and then he ended up retiring. It took 3 years for him to retire, but he retired after 3 years.
Jeez, 500.
No, it's just... There are guys that have come back from a lot of workload that didn't get hurt. Emmitt Smith, he had a lot of years of big work. It's very difficult in today's NFL for these guys to get back to being great. And one guy that makes me a little bit nervous, the one thing that's okay that I'm okay with it is because you're not drafting him as an early round pick. Terrence West had over 400 carries as in college last year at Towson.
Yeah.
400 carries.
But I remember them. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But I remember them having concerns about Ray Rice getting a lot big workload at Rutgers. And that was
and his first
year. I'm just talking about one season, not over his college career. Once Monte Ball was the same thing. Monte Ball had a lot of work in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Right. And Ray Rice's first year in the league, they didn't load him up with a ton of carries.
All right. Now, what about the Adrian Peterson, though, example of him bouncing back from the injury? Like, are guys going to be able to bounce back from injury better? I mean, it's 2014, you know, like Terrell Davis, ACL injury.
No, I, again, if I was that concerned about Arian Foster, I wouldn't have him in my top 12. But I'm just talking about where you're drafting him.
Yeah.
Like, where Dave has him ranked, you have to take him in the first round.
You know, I have no problem taking him in the first round, but that's the thing, though.
And I think it's too risky. Same thing with Marshawn Lynch. I think it's too risky. I think there's going to be a setback for both of those guys as first-round picks.
But, Dave, he's behind Jimmy Graham
for you, right? And I think Foster's had the setback. What's that?
He's behind Jimmy Graham for you, right?
Foster?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't think he is.
No? Okay.
In a PPR, he is, but not in a standard.
I want to investigate this second-year running back thing. Why do you suppose second-year running backs have disappointed, I guess, after big years recently?
Could be work. It could be work from, you know, you're not playing all those games in college. You're now going through not a full off season from college to the NFL your rookie year, but then work, minimal break, big off season of, you know, not a lot of work, but you're still, you know, asking your body to ramp up earlier than normal.
Sure. All right. Well, I think it's worth looking into.
But haven't there been a ton of running backs who have also had a great first year, had a great second year,
Alfred Morris
had a great third
mind.
Year.
Sure. Well, more people actually look at last year as a disappointment for him.
Right. See,
yeah, but
that's the thing. Like some
fine,
people,
right?
Yeah, like no, I think fantasy owners absolutely. Who had him were ultimately fine with how he did.
No, they were disappointed. That's the problem.
He didn't score as much
because
right?
there was a
his touchdowns dropped in half. His yards per carry were exactly the same.
Yeah, exactly. That's
he had
not
1,300
what I mean.
Total yards. It was a
you're
very
talking
good
about
season.
Guys straight like Doug Martin,
and Trent Richardson, who just weren't as productive.
Well, you can't. Martin's hard to argue because of injury.
And Richardson,
but
was
his
traded
production
in the middle
wasn't
of the
quite
year.
As good. Even
no,
in
but
the his healthy games.
But you wonder what he would have done when they got things corrected. When James and Rainey were doing well.
Yeah, yes, you do wonder. All right, well.
I honestly think it's a case-by-case thing.
Yeah.
And that it's not
it's just we've
not
had,
a big blanket statement
we
that
just
you
had
just
a,
make.
Right, we've had a run of guys that just have underperformed in their second season that you'd like to see better in their third year.
Mike,
or, I'm sorry, better guys, yeah. rookies do better in their second year because there's a lot of great options.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're probably the one of the most enticing groups in fantasy this year, the second-year running backs. Mike from Eagle, Colorado. My questions are about the Green Bay tight end position. You folks do not have a tight end even ranked for them. One of your competitors has Andrew Quarles ranked 29th. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but didn't Quarles fill in when Finley got hurt last year? I looked at Green Bay's current roster. They currently have 5 or 6 tight ends. So is Quarles that bad? Have things in Green Bay just not crystallized, in your opinion? I would think that a tight end being thrown to by Aaron Rodgers would be at least ranked.
Sure. Who is it?
That's the question.
Colt Ierla.
I don't know if he's going to make the
yeah,
final roster.
Yeah, he
might
not make the final roster. I mean, Corliss is hurt right now. That's part of it. So he hasn't even been practicing with them in off-season workouts. Brandon Bostic is somebody that they like. He's also hurt. He's coming back from injury. So
they like this rookie.
Yeah, Rodgers.
There have been some nice reports right. about Richard Rodgers from Cal.
Right.
But he's no relation to Aaron Rodgers from Cal.
Right. Or Dave Richard from Chicago. I think you look at any one of these guys can be good 1 week, disappear next. And they're still talking about bringing back Jermichael Finley if he gets cleared. So I think once we get a better picture come the middle of August, will the starting tight end for the Green Bay Packers probably crack both of our top 32 tight ends? I would think yes. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'd probably gamble on the Packers starting tight end than Brent Celek, for example, who I ranked
right
as the second guy for the Eagles.
Right. All right, then. Caleb. Where's Caleb from?
Berkeley, California, of course.
No relation to Aaron Rodgers. Good morning, Randy, Troy, and Napoleon. Oh.
Napoleon Dynamite?
Raiders? Who's Troy? Yeah. Wait. Randy Moss and Napoleon Kaufman are Raiders.
Who would the Troy be?
I don't know.
Could
I don't
it not
know.
Be Napoleon Dynamite?
I don't know who
I don't remember.
The past two seasons, I've had success augmenting my team with late-round picks on players who would have gone higher but were suspended the first 2 to 4 games of the season. Who would fit this profile for the current season? I didn't think there were anyone.
Suspended?
Could yeah. Ray Rice be there?
Yeah, Rice is one of the few. I mean, Blackman's not going to get activated in time to help you. No one's drafting LaVon Brazil.
Right. So...
I mean,
not this is not the year. If there's a holdout, maybe.
There's just not those guys. I mean, look, if Josh Gordon's only suspended 8 games, then yes. Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
By
Thank
the way,
you,
the,
Caleb.
The Randy Troy Napoleon reference yeah. could be in regards to the Randy Moss trade between the Raiders and the Vikings, which involved Napoleon Harris, Chicago's very own Napoleon Harris, and Troy Williamson, who was
Troy
drafted.
Williamson. Okay.
Interesting.
Daniel Merbarger.
Really interesting.
I think it's interesting.
I think you both need to get out more.
Daniel Merbarger, says the man who's up at 5:45 in the morning on his day off. Can Jamie talk about Vincent Jackson at 12 and Keenan Allen at 16? I think both are prime for a better season than last year. Mm-hmm. Now, are these your PPR rankings? Probably not, right? No, because Vincent Jackson 15th for you in PPR.
Yeah, Jackson, I think, is actually outside my top 12 in standard.
He's now 13th for you. He's 14th for Dave.
Yeah, he's never been 12 for me.
And Keenan Allen is 16 and 16. So, well, it was a good email, Daniel, but you're one off.
It's a fair question.
Close.
I mean, look, I think when you get past, there's really, to me, there's 10 upper echelon receivers. And it cuts off for me at Randall Cobb. Now, Fitzgerald's very good. Michael Crabtree's very good. Vince Jackson's very good. Keenan Allen's very good. If you want to say Andre Johnson's still very good, I'm fine with all that. But after you get past those top 10 guys, it's kind of like who you like best. Take them. You know, that's very solid number two. Do I think Vincent Jackson is going to get better? Not necessarily. I think he's going to be very good. I mean, you know, he had some really big weeks last year when the quarterback change happened. Keenan Allen was good. I mean, you know, anybody that's been listening to us, you know, from week one last year till now knows how much I like Keenan Allen when he took over the job. Mm-hmm. So they're good. If one of these two guys can falter, it would be Allen. That's why he's lower.
All right, Vincent Jackson. Let's focus on him because basically – he's been amazing 5 of 6 years, and he only played 5 games the 1 year he wasn't amazing. I don't like players like Vincent Jackson because he's so boom or bust.
Touchdown dependent.
Yeah, so touchdown dependent. Last year, Vincent Jackson had games of 15, 23, 25, 22, 13, and 11 fantasy points. Also weeks of 3, 2, 1, 2, yeah. and 3.
That's who he is.
7 games with 9 or more fantasy points, which means he had 8 or less and 9 games.
Yeah, but it's the 3, 2, 1, 2, right. and 3 that kill me.
Right.
Like, I can't deal with that.
Those
right.
are the types of receivers. Those are the types of receivers who you know will end up with a good stat line at the end of the year that you take after the tier of receivers that Jamie just talked about.
It's just one of those things. You just have to know that you should – look, you better have – he's going to go in that round 4 range. You know, if you get Vince Jackson around 5, you're ecstatic. But figure round 4 is where you're going to have to draft him. And if you kill your first 3 picks and he has those big weeks and you're just supplementing, your team's probably awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But if he's your number 1 receiver, those big weeks are going to be great, and those bad weeks are you're going to lose.
Yeah.
And for whatever it's worth, Keenan Allen only had 6 games last year with 9 or more fantasy points. You know, we only give him credit for 14 games. There were 2 games where he either didn't play.
But it really was.
Didn't really do much. Yeah.
Week 5.
Right.
Started to get a little bit more attention.
Yeah, and if you look just at his numbers toward the end of the year, kind of not as bad of a boomer bust as Vincent Jackson.
No, he was much more consistent, but he didn't have the highs.
He had a lot of games with 8 fantasy points.
He didn't have
like
the
same
highs.
I'm looking, it looks like he had 3 with 8.
Right, that's
so
the thing.
So he's a 20-yard catch away from in those
games.
Yeah,
I can deal with 8.
You could deal with 8 because he's your number 2. And yeah. I think, like, look, I would be okay if I, again, crushed my first 3 picks. You know, 2 great running backs. Maybe it's Graham. Maybe it's Gronk. Maybe it's Thomas. Mix in there if you want to take a quarterback. Fine. And then you go with these are your first 2 receivers, round 4 and round 5. That's great.
Yep.
But you better, again, crush those first 3 picks.
And by the way, PPR, obviously, Jackson's going to be lower. Last year, 78 catches, career high. And believe it or not, 15.7 yards per catch, second lowest of his career. So
right. I think people looking at it, and this is, you know, it's somewhat of a fair comparison because of the quarterback, but looking at Josh McCown going from Chicago with Marshall and Jeffrey, getting 2 very capable receivers in Jackson and Evans, those 2 guys are not Marshall and Jeffrey, first of all, and it's not the same system.
Right.
So McCown is not going to get those big games from those 2 guys. You know, I talked to McCown this offseason. It was actually the day that he threw with Vincent Jackson for the first time. And he said, he's as legit as Marshall and Jeffrey, which, you know, you expect him to say something positive about him. But the system is just not the same. It's not the Trestman system.
They're not going to ask him to throw nearly as much.
Right, and those guys aren't going to produce nearly as much.
Bobby Hare says, Jamie has the Panthers DST ranked too high. They're 4th. And without Captain Munnerlyn, who will stop the pass? I think the whole team regresses.
I agree that the whole team regresses, but I love that defensive line.
Let's let Dave weigh in here because Dave has them 10th and Jamie has them 4th. First of all, Dave, how come you didn't have them any different in your PPR rankings, Panthers DST?
Mm. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to respond to that other than
Yeah.
Yes. When I look at a DST, the number one thing I look for is sacks.
Yep,
because I think pass rush is everything in football. And if you can stop the pass rush, your team's going to be good. And if you've got a pass rush that can get to the quarterback, your team will also be good. And the opposite of that means that your teams are bad. And Carolina, their secondary is ugly. It's very ugly, but they make up for it with a crazy good pass rush.
Right, but
I mean, they even spent a second-round pick on a guy who I love.
You have to take the opposite approach here because Jamie has him 4th and you have him 10th. So,
That's me just
Jamie
saying that.
Too
I like
high,
him. Yeah, obviously. I think he's a little too high because I do think Carolina is going to give up a lot of points this year. I just think, you know, the offense, I don't think it's going to be as good as it was last year. And you know, as much as I love the defensive line, as much as I think they're going to get 40-plus sacks, yeah, I think the secondary is a liability. And some very good quarterbacks that they face are going to exploit it.
If you want to look at the division, you got to figure Atlanta's going to have a better passing game, and you got to figure Tampa Bay should have a better passing game.
Yeah, but it lends itself to still the pass rush, as Dave said, it covers up so many things. I covered a Dolphins team that Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain at the time were being talked about as the best cornerback, or not the best, but one of the best cornerback duos in the NFL. You know why? Because quarterbacks had 3 seconds at best to throw, because Jason Taylor and Trace Armstrong were one of the best, if not the best, sack tandem at the time, mm-hmm. getting to the opposing quarterbacks. It's what made Jason Taylor. It's almost like the 49ers, same type thing with when Alvin Smith and Justin Smith were so good.
It might have been what made Captain Munnerlyn so good last year.
Yeah.
Now he's off to Minnesota.
I just look at that defensive front, and when I start to look at some of these other DST options, there aren't a lot that compare to this. So, yes, the game's against the Saints and the Falcons, which the Falcons, I'll still debate you on that because that offensive line's still a little shaky.
But their passing game will be better.
Their passing game will definitely be better.
That doesn't
mean they still can't get to Matt Ryan 4 or 5 times, no matter how many points they're going to give up.
But you can't debate me on that because all I said was their passing game was going to be better.
Yeah, but not that much that it's going to impact the Panthers' DST in that much of a negative light.
All right.
So I'll still take my chances with that defensive line.
And Jack LaBelle says, I think Jordan Reed might be a bit too high in Jamie's PPR rankings, giving his injury history and other targets in Washington.
Jordan Reed is
eighth for Dave, for Jamie, and ninth for Dave.
Yeah.
So you agree, but
I mean,
do you agree with who?
I agree with Jack LaBelle.
But you only have him one spot lower.
I know. Because
okay, but, okay.
Is this me straddling the fence? Because I'm saying, yeah, no, I don't think.
You know what? Make your point.
You know what? I actually think Jamie's coming in a little low compared to other people on Jordan Reed. I've read where people think Jordan Reed's going to have this amazing breakout year with.
Oh, I think he is.
You know, 1,000 yards and 8
touchdowns. I don't think that, but I think he's going to have a breakout year.
Okay, well, I'm nervous.
Gator homer.
Just because of the concussions.
Yeah.
Just, you know, I'm like my mother. My mom always worries about me, like, whenever I fly. She's worried that that's going to be the plane.
When guys have concussions, that worries you?
When they have
history of concussions?
In such a short period of time.
Okay.
Which is what Reed's got.
So Jordan Cameron's history of concussions doesn't bother?
Has he had 2 within like a 4-game period?
He had 2 in the course of a season 2 years ago.
I know. But he came back from that.
So what you're saying is guys can come back from concussions.
They can, but I just don't – like, Reed's got a history of some serious concussions. Cameron's got some concussions too, but it just seems like Reed's is more pronounced. And on top of that, there's
recent,
a lot of other
– recent.
That too. Forget the pronounced comment. There's also more targets to go around in Washington, and I don't know if Reed's going to be able to get to 1,008 or 907.
Yeah, I don't think he has to get there. 2 years ago, I just know this because I've written it. We just talked about it on video. Heath Miller was number 4 tight end in 2012. He had 70 catches, 800 yards, and 7 touchdowns. I wouldn't be surprised if Jordan Reed does that. I don't think he will, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
Okay.
You project his stats over 16 games from a year ago. He was number 7 tight end. So
I got him for 806.
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. I probably have him for a little bit more. Usually I project higher than Dave, so I'm sure my stats are a little bit higher. And then you factor in the one spot difference, so it's probably a pronounced difference.
All right. Well, what are you guys? What are you guys doing later tonight? Want to get a burger or something?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm starving.
That's my language right there.
Because I'm out of notes. So
how much time?
34 minutes.
Wow, this is gonna be record breaking.
Well,
let's just cough for 20 minutes.
You guys have had a long day. I figured I'd let you off the hook.
You don't have any questions? Anything you want to know about?
Who are you taking, Gronk or Thomas?
Gronk.
I put him on the spot the other day. I said, give me your top 12 quarterbacks. You know who he left out? You're going to hate this.
Huh.
Who do you think he left out?
Foles.
Not even top 12.
You don't think he can do it, huh?
No, I think
no
he
love
can
for
do
Nikki
it.
Foles?
You know
who
he had in
so
his top 12? You know
so
he had,
cluttered.
You're going to hate
Cam.
This too.
Cam.
No, Cam was in his top 12. That's not the one you're going to hate.
Russell Wilson
was a top 12
quarterback. But I said that like, I expect
he's
him
so Gazer. Hard to project.
But I said I expect him to finish in the top 12, but I wouldn't draft him in the top 12 because he doesn't have the upside that other quarterbacks behind him have. So like at the end of the year, his stats will be there, but that team is so unpredictable. I don't want to have to deal with the weekly do I start or do I sit Russell Wilson thing. I'll take him as
That's
a backup
why you don't
quarterback.
Take him. Sure, exactly.
And if he has an absolute breakout stud season,
here's when you start Russell Wilson. It's very simple because the numbers suggest it. At home or indoors. 7 of 11 in his rookie year, 7 of 11. Here I go. Although I said I wasn't going to do this anymore. 7 of 11 is like 8 of 12 the last two seasons, indoors or at home.
With 20 or more fantasy points?
With 20 or more fantasy points.
Let's look that up. Let's see what
I wrote. It's in the Seahawks preview. Oh, okay. It's on the site. So
great. Cool. So you can start them like 9 or 10.
That percentage is worth it. I mean, you know.
But
just,
if you look at his quarterback rating, it's like 105 or something crazy. So what I'm saying is if we start to see that this is the year they take the training wheels off and make this
right.
his team, he could be a stud, and I'd take him as a backup quarterback. I just wouldn't bank on that.
There are, to me, 16 very good quarterbacks, and he's in that group.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the top 12, however you want to break it down. It's Cam, it's Roethlisberger, it's Wilson, and it's Palmer.
He'll get drafted late.
So what?
Every single league. So if you want to take him late, go ahead. I'm not putting him in my top 12. I think he's a good quarterback. I just don't think he's good for fantasy.
But he is good for fantasy.
But Jamie.
I agree with you in premise, what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But you can't say he's not good for fantasy, at least phrase it that way, mm-hmm. when he's been ninth each of the last 2 years. Now, I understand why he's been ninth, because last year he was better than Brady. He was better than Rodgers. He was better than Ryan.
I mean, there's reasons why he's better than those guys.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, Jamie, this is what I want to know. Like, you say there's 16 good quarterbacks. Why are you the one who's always pushing us to take quarterbacks in the first round?
Well, that's actually, my ideal draft is 12 quarterbacks. First round. Should all be quarterbacks.
1 through 12. And then I think at least a few of those owners should take a backup in the second round.
I actually, we have a draft coming up in the next couple of weeks where I pick second. And I had a thought that I'm going to take a quarterback on the swing in the 2-3 on the way back.
You should.
If one of the top three is still there, which I think Rodgers or Breeze will
yep.
be. And I was imagining what the response from you in particular in the draft
room would
be. I would
applaud you. I would say, finally, he's listening to me. No, just kidding. All right, guys. Thank you for a very good show. And we're back next week, but not until at the earliest Wednesday. So I know we won't be here to do a podcast on Monday or Tuesday. So Wednesday probably we'll check in with you. Dave Richard, thank you.
Ah.
Jamie Eisenberg, thank you.
Ah.
And I'm. Ah. See you later.
Bye.